The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And joining us, we have a very special guest. Let's welcome to our program Executive Manager, Entrepreneurship Development and Innovation at Kariri, as Mrs. Denise Ferguson. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Good morning, and thank you for having me this morning.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's allow you to familiarize our listeners with yourself. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of the things that you're involved in.
Hi, well, my name is Denise Ferguson, and I work in entrepreneurship development and innovation at Kariri. A lot of times people know us for testing and consultancy, but we have been doing a lot of work in innovation and entrepreneurship. We have a lot of programs directly related to that, taking your ideas and making a prototype or prototype to help you get into the market. And this involves not just the traditional average person, SMEs, large businesses, and we also have an innovation and entrepreneurship program specifically targeted to youth school, the DIA Trinidad and Tobago Youth Innovation Program.
Yeah. I know that Kariri is highly involved in out-of-the-box approaches to several things. Some of those include products and so on. I'm sure we'll get to those a little later on in the interview, but we're talking about shaping the future of innovation. Sounds pretty interesting. What does it mean?
So we all know that Trinidad and Tobago, very, very innovative. We see it for Carnival. We see it all through the year. We're very innovative. But a lot of times that innovation is not commercialized. It's not turned into a business, and it's not turned into a profitable business that we can export. But we know a lot of times people lack finances. They lack technical know-how to scale up.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ministry of Planning and Development, the IDB, and the EU have formed a partnership to bring this program, and Kariri is executing the program to be able to do three things. The first thing is that grants, so that's physical money, is going to be given to at least 75 firms, minimum value 50,000 US, maximum value 500,000 US. And this is to allow them to scale up a innovative product, service, or process that they have already tested and validated. We then have component two, which is going to seek to put academia, so research students, with organizations to help them build out innovative projects. And this will also be funded by the project. And the third component seeks to bring all of the innovative players in the industry, private sector, public sector, NGOs, ministries, etc., removing the silos to see how could we work together, how could we stop duplicating efforts so that we are able to transcend innovation throughout the entire Trinidad and Tobago going forward.
What inspired the creation of this program?
The government would have created the Ministry of Planning and Development and Innovation Policy several years ago. And out of that policy, the recognition is that we need to do more where it comes to innovation in a formal and systematic way. We see that innovation is something that is going on all through the world, and Trinidad and Tobago doesn't want to be left behind. So with that, they would have reached out to partners, and these partners would have invested some funds, created and drafted a project that we are now executing.
Yeah. How engaged, this might be a really interesting question to gauge the population's involvement or engagement, for want of a different term. How engaged are citizens when it comes to innovation and experimenting with innovation and that kind of thing? Can you give us an idea? You might not be able to give us statistics, but a general feel. Are our citizens inclined?
I think so. We would have had several projects, like we had some youth projects with primary school students, and the response was fantastic. We had individuals who would have created, now of course this is the concept, not the actual item, apps that look at measuring sargassum coming to shore so that that could be dealt with. We had individuals doing, and this is school children, primary school children, who would have looked at apps that could measure the depth of floodwaters. So as a traveler, as someone driving, you could measure it before you go in. So of course, then your car doesn't get taken away by the flood. So based on all the many programs we have, we also have a program called Innovation Idea Advisory Service. And what it does is it takes your idea and it then builds a prototype for you. So at all areas, whether it is children, whether it is just individuals, whether it is SMEs or large firms, we have seen an appetite for innovation, people wanting to get help, but a lot of times they don't know what, because I may have an innovation, but I don't have the technical expertise. I may have the technical expertise, but I do not have the funds. And of course, IP is important, and we do have a healthy relationship with the IP office in Trinidad and Tobago, offering free IP clinics every Tuesday, and that is always oversubscribed. So we have uptake. In fact, the first call, and we are in our third call for proposals, the first call we were giving 15 grants and we had over 153 people apply.
Okay, I understand. Give us some examples of what innovation has taken place already, some of the things that people have actually achieved, so that listeners can have an idea. Because some people may have ideas and they wouldn't understand that, well, this is an innovative idea. It's just an idea I have, and it would give them a broader understanding of what all of this entails. Some examples.
Sure. So when we look at innovation, we're not talking that you are creating something brand new.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be an invention. It doesn't have to be new to the world, but it certainly has to be new to your business. So it could be product innovation, it could be service innovation, it could be innovation in the process. So you're not creating a new product, but the process itself is really something that's seeking to solve a business problem, increase productivity and profitability. It should be unique and give the business some sort of competitive advantage. So some of the things that we've seen so far is one firm is taking plastic and turning it into lumber. So they are doing two things. They are cleaning up the environment of this environmental waste, and they are then making lumber that is sturdy, durable, and cost effective. We have individuals who have taken the steel pan and turned it into a virtual reality platform, and that is now able to be exported throughout the world for individuals to understand the pan, to learn to play the pan, and to do it again at a cost-effective way and also a more efficient way, because of course the real pan will take some time to reach there. And we hope, of course, if you've learned virtual reality pan, then you will want an actual pan. We have people who are looking at sustainable tourism, and so the way they create the process of their facility would put in things that would allow us to have renewable energy to reduce their cost. So it's another firms have done, whether it's in the education sector, the health sector, etc. I should say that the only sector that we are not focusing on, because we are seeking to diversify as well, is the oil and gas sector.
I was now about to ask the question about specific fields, but from what you just said to us, it's clear that the sky's the limit. Anyone with an idea, one way or the other, could come in and have the idea evaluated and get some advice from you all as to whether or not they'd qualify for some of what exists. And in a time when there are people who are looking for ways and means to earn an income, to supplement their income, probably get out of a field and get into another one, events like these and programs and objectives like these go a long way in providing that opportunity for them. Recently, we had an entire week with NEDCO. And many times you have people who are frustrated because they have qualifications, they have ideas that they want to implement, they just don't know how to begin because some people have lost their jobs. We came out a really tough time recently with COVID-19, and people are looking at ways and means of trying to not just provide for themselves, but to start something that can turn into something huge. I remember some time ago following the comments made by one of our most prominent businessmen, that's Sasha Maharaj out of Kama Maharaj out of Sasha Cosmetics. And he has a mentorship that he's doing online on social media. And one of the questions that he had asked was, what need does your idea or your business address? And he suggested that that's where some of the greatest ideas come from, when people change their perspective as to not just looking to present something to make money, but in actually addressing a need. How important is that in innovation?
That's very important, because at the end of the day, it's about what does the customer want? What is their pain point? What is the issue? What is the need you are trying to solve? In fact, we use a business productivity tool called the Business Canvas. And that's the first thing we're asking. Mm-hmm. What need are you trying to solve? Because you may come in and you're selling water, let's say, on the docks. But selling water is not there. Is it that the need is that people are thirsty? Because if water runs out, then will you not sell? Then you will turn to juice, because juice will still satisfy the need of this. Mm-hmm. So we always go through that, helping individuals with our IAS program to understand. It also allows them to pivot, because you shouldn't just have, this is my program, this is my innovation, and stick to it, because sometimes your innovation may not be what the public needs. But if you pivoted just 2 degrees, you can use that same innovation to solve another need. In fact, this call 3, is looking at 2 lots. So we are sponsoring SMEs, and we are also sponsoring inclusive innovation. Whether you're large or you're SME, we're looking at those individuals who are not normally serviced by society. Maybe it's in the education field, maybe it's in the utilities field, maybe it's also in the health field. So what can you do to help those underprivileged individuals, those at the lowest income? How can your innovation solve a problem for them?
Hmm. Inclusive innovation should be self-explanatory, but let's get into it a bit. What does inclusive innovation entail?
So inclusive says that we are going to include all of the individuals of society. There are a lot of people who may live in rural areas or who may have very low incomes, who do not have proper access to services that they should. Health, education, housing, other things like that. And so let's take, for example, if you are offering low-cost material for building housing, and you are now able to service a whole number of rural individuals, making housing affordable, then that's inclusive. If you are taking a hospital and you're carrying this out into, again, a place where somebody may have to have gone 100 miles to get to a hospital, then you are bringing something to people who are underserved. And so you're now including them into what you and I would call everyday in society. And so it's really ensuring that everyone is included in the services that we do. And what then happens when this is done by a non-government agency? It allows the government to be able to redistribute resources into other things while the individuals are still served with the things that they need to be served with.
It's really interesting, the endless possibilities that exist when it comes to innovation. And as you rightly did say, it's not somebody creating something from scratch. And that's a perspective change that people need to adopt. I remember speaking to someone very prominent in the business community some time ago, and we were speaking about people taking advantage of opportunities that exist. And the individual said to me, he's part of one of the largest conglomerates in the country. He said to me that there's a mindset that we need to change amongst the population. And that is the perception that you need to build a business from scratch. And he says that there are numerous examples across the world where people have built businesses out of other people's businesses. And they've been very, very successful in doing that. But I guess it deals directly with innovation and people being able to see something and realize to themselves, well, we can take this further, or there is something that maybe was not considered and we need to head down that road. When it comes, let's just say we have parents listening in to us. And there are parents who would like to encourage their children. When I say children, we're going all the way up to 18, 19 teenagers and everything else, to start thinking along these lines. Or there are people themselves who want to start thinking along these lines. What are some of the things they should focus on?
One of the things, we want to allow our children to be creative. A lot of times we say, you know, only go into the science, or only go in to be a lawyer, engineer. We should allow our children to take the paths that allow them to be creative. In fact, when we look at the Apple phone, when we look at Microsoft and Microsoft Word and a lot of those fonts, they actually were created by people using creative things, right? And an engineer wouldn't have just come up with those fonts. So we shouldn't be afraid to think that there is a future, because a lot of times we think there is no future in being creative. That is something that's you're gonna starve, they say. You're not gonna get a good job, you're not gonna get money. But the truth is, if we look at the internet being the disruptive innovation, everything else on the internet is incremental. So Facebook being on the internet, we have YouTube stars. People who are YouTube stars, they didn't create anything. They are using the tools that have already been created. So we should allow our children to express themselves, of course, in a structured way. I'll be a bit biased and I will say there are many programs Kariri have, from Innovation Nation to the DIA to our Business Hatchery to our IAS. Look at our websites, follow our social media page, and get your children involved in a number of things that we do. And our partners as well at UE, UTT, Youth Business TT, a number of these organizations, and that's why we're trying to partner with many people to remove silos, work together to further innovation. Yes, mm-hmm. From preschool all the way up, sky's the limit.
Yeah, you speak to a lot of people, and people always have ideas, and you can tell that there is so much more available to people now than there was, let's just say, 10, 20 years ago. The world has changed. The opportunities that are available now are so vast. Technology has played a real role. We no longer have this push towards the traditional jobs. And the world is now being told, young people, everyone is being told, regardless of age, that there is much more that you can do. And if you have an idea, your idea could be the next big thing. You could be the next shining star when it comes to business or innovation and all of these things. And programs like this that Kariri is involved in here, this innovation, shaping the future of innovation, goes a long way in harnessing those talents and making sure that we get the best out of our population. We need to take a couple quick messages, but when we get back, we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty about the program, eligible to be a part of it, target audience, and how people get involved, what are some of the do's and don'ts, all of those things and more after these messages right here on Freedom 106.5. We are speaking this morning about shaping the future of innovation. Our special guest, Executive Manager, Entrepreneurship Development and Innovation at Kariri, Mrs. Denise Ferguson. Stay with us. Welcome back. Of course, our discussion continues for just a bit. Executive Manager, Entrepreneurship Development and Innovation at Kariri, that's Mrs. Denise Ferguson. We're coming close to the end of our interview, and this is probably the best time for us to give people the information on this program. If persons are interested, how they get involved and get more information and exactly who the target audience is. Tell us about that.
Right, so all of the information is on our webpage, www.kariri.com. On our social media pages, there are links to the webpage as well. We did have 4 information sessions that have gone, and we will have one last information session on next Tuesday at 10 a.m. They could check our webpage or social media for the link to register for that information session. But I'll give you some information about it right now. So first of all, the Innovation Channel facility is targeting eligible business. So what does eligible business mean? It means, first of all, you must be registered. Whether you are a sole trader, an NGO, an SME, a large firm, a partnership, that's fine, but you must be registered. So you must have a business name. You must be at least 3 years operating. So we're not looking for a startup who only started last week. A person like that could join our IAS, but would not be eligible for this Shaping the Future of Innovation funding. They must also be paying regulatory tax. So you must show that you have paid your tax. Of course, if you are tax exempted, then you will have that documentation as well. Your innovation can be, as we said, in product, process, service, etc., but it must be at the technology ready 7 level. So the readiness of the technology must be 7. What does 7 mean? It means that you have already created the idea. So it's not just an idea in your head. It's already created. It could be in a prototype or a prototype, and you must have tested it. So it is ready to be piloted. It is ready to be commercialized. It is ready to be operationalized. It is ready to be sold. It is ready to be used. Not that it's going to be ready 10 years from now. It must be ready before the end of the project, which is December 2024. So you have the eligible business. If you're asking who is an SME, it can be either you have 50 or less employees, you have assets that worth 5 million or less, or you have annual sales of 10 million or less. Either one of those puts you in the category of SMEs. What's the difference between SMEs and large? SMEs are allowed only to grant $75,000 US, while large firms can access $250,000. If it's inclusive, whether it's large or small, they can access $500,000 US. The platform is open right now. So it's a digital platform. It's not a hard copy form. You go onto the Kariri's webpage and you will see the link to the platform. You go into the platform and you create a profile. And of course, you need to finish the concept note. And it's really a basic concept note. You're not asking for financials at this stage. We really want you to describe what this innovation is, what this innovation will do, and of course, you're describing your business. The platform will close on the 30th of August. For this call, we have one more call that will come out before the end of the year. And those, so that is stage one, those concepts will be evaluated by September 2023, late September. And the individuals who have scored above the threshold will be invited to now submit a more detailed application showing the implementation plan. How do you intend to implement this? What will it cost, etc.? And they will have until November 15th to do that. Thereafter, in December, the second evaluation will be done. And then in January of the next year, very early, those individuals who have been successful will be told, contracts signed, and awards given out. And of course, monitoring and evaluation will occur.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there's a lot of work to be done from now to then. And this is going to be a real big deal. The figures that you quoted for us of what these what this entails is a lot that can go a long way in taking some of these ideas, this innovation, and some of these things much further than people might be able to do on their own. Mrs. Ferguson, I want to thank you for being with us here this morning and for telling our listeners about what this entire program is and the importance of innovation and development. Thank you once again for being with us and for sharing this information to our listeners. It was nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, how we end our interview here this morning. Entrepreneurship, development, and innovation. And that, of course, Executive Manager at Kariri, Mrs. Denise Ferguson. This is where we drop the curtains on this edition of our show.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.